Yakira Shepherd. Yakira is a final year communication student at the IDC in Herzliya, and an article that she wrote is all over the Jewish press today. And I thought, what a wonderful, positive way to maybe end our Yom HaAtzmaut special this afternoon. So Yakira, I'm hoping you're with me, and thank you for speaking to us here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Yes, it's great to speak with you. I'm definitely here.
You are definitely, and you are clear, which is always an added bonus. Yakira, before I get to your article, just because you're a real live person in Israel, how was Yom HaAtzmaut in under lockdown conditions?
So ironically, I'm actually back in South Africa at the moment. I came to visit my family and be here, and I was sent to represent the IDC at the Maasai Expo, and I've been stuck here. So I'm trying desperately to get back, but from my friends, I know that it's been a very interesting and different experience this year. But yeah, I wish I could have been there to be part of that.
Okay, no, I understand that. Okay, so I did kind of thought it was kind of strange that here I was going to cross continents and seas to speak to you about an institution that's literally around the corner. But it seems out that you're also around the corner today. Tell us about this article that you wrote that appeared in the Times of Israel that, I don't know, I've seen posted all over Facebook and making a lot of people smile.
Thank you. Yes. So I'm a third year communication student, and within it, I was given the opportunity to apply for a specialization called investigative journalism. And they chose 6 international students and 6 Israeli students from within the communication school. And I was very honored to be a part of that program. And within it, we were given mentors within an internship kind of feeling. And I was very honored that my mentor was David Horowitz, the founder of the Times of Israel. So working with a little bit in conjunction with him, getting his advice and that kind of environment, I worked on this article and I put a lot of time and effort and energy into it. And so I'm very grateful that he chose to publish it. That's how it came about.
Talk to the content, Yakira. I know that many people won't know what we're speaking about. So tell me, why am I looking at this picture of 12 very elderly Jewish men holding placards, each one a separate placard: your minyan is closed to protect us, our minyan stays open to protect you. Where did you go with the story?
So I had heard about the minyan at Sanrium Gardens. Because they locked down the facility so early, they were able to protect the people within the facility. And so that is the only minyan that is functioning in South Africa and throughout many countries around the world. So people send the names for people to say Kaddish, the mourner's prayer, for people who have died so that they can take on that honor. And baby girls have to be named during Torah reading. Brises around the world are still able to happen with strict measures, but the forum for naming baby girls, unfortunately, is Torah reading with a minyan, with a quorum of 10 men. And so it needs to happen with a minyan. So there are people from all around the world. They've had 15 baby girls that they've named from places like Uruguay and Brazil, and as well as locally, of course. So it's really amazing that they're able to stay open because of the strict measures. And so they're able to then take care of our spiritual needs when we can't have a normal minyan.
And tell me, there must be a very innate need amongst those of us who've suffered bereavement to say Kaddish. I would imagine that is probably one of the most core, innermost needs, no matter how religious or irreligious you are.
Definitely.
This resonates with you. The issue of Kaddish, were people contacting them worldwide asking them to do the same thing?
Definitely. People heard about it from word of mouth, and people were speaking within the Johannesburg community. And when they realized how much of a big impact it is and how unique it was that there is a minyan still functioning, people spoke to people overseas. They advertised it a little bit so that people would know. And that's how it really spread, so that all those people can still be remembered and mourned and given an honor, and people know that their loved ones are being thought about and given the proper respect that they deserve, even during this time.
How did you manage to, did you interview the residents? How did you get the information in lockdown situation?
So I did some research. I contacted people that I knew and found my way to the various contacts in order to speak about really what was happening with how the people within the Minyan were feeling, I managed to contact Rabbi Jonathan Fox, who is the rabbi who attends the Minyan daily. So he is the only person who touches the Torah, who touches the Bema, so that also ensures the safety that he's the one person who touches each of those things in the same way that each of the men have their own seat, their own designated siddur or prayer book. So everyone makes sure that they stay safe and stick within those restrictions. And so I managed to contact him and find out how the men are feeling and how they're dealing with the whole situation.
I love the story. I love the fact that it's a bit of sunlight in quite a bit of darkness. And the whole issue of Minyanim worldwide, I think in B'nai Brak in Brooklyn, has been quite a controversial one. A lot of people haven't been obeying the lockdown restrictions. I don't think they've done our communities any favors. It's also showed, and we were talking about this in the first hour, people like Mayor de Blasio in New York seem to have singled out Jews for quite special treatment that I don't think is fair either. So I think your article, to just put it one in perspective, to say there's a group of old guys here in Joburg who are obeying it and are praying for everybody else. It's just a beautiful, beautiful little story. So, yeah,
yes,
Yakira,
thank you
for writing it. Thank you for bringing a smile to our face in a difficult time. And just purely out of interest on a personal level, do you have any idea how and when you're getting back to Israel?
I am trying desperately to contact anyone that I can think of to try and help me get back, and we're just hoping for the best. There's nothing more that we can do than what is allowed, and obviously the primary thing is just to stay safe and healthy. So my goal ultimately is to get back to Israel as soon as possible, but at the same time I really understand that all these restrictions are in place to keep everyone safe.
Yeah, 100%. Just finally, I had a story on the side, and it kind of relates to this conversation one way or another. There's an article in the JTA this afternoon about Amsterdam's Jewish nursing home has apparently lost over 20% of its residents to COVID-19. And it's quite ironic,
so sad,
because the whole way this building was built was in order for it to interface with the outside, that people could come off the streets and have a cup of coffee, that people wouldn't feel isolated. And how bizarre is it that it's that very ethos and philosophy that actually has caused all the problems? And maybe as South Africans, we need to step back and say how lucky we were that we took such strong action so very early on.
Absolutely. It's all about the actions that we take and the things that we do to try and protect everyone. And you just got to try and do the best you can, because no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what's coming up, because this is new to everyone. So we just all have to do our best and hope that what we do is what's right.
Yakira, what a beautiful place to leave it. Yakira Shepherd, student at the IDC in Herzliya, and journalist and author. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me.